Et je pense qu'on peut enchaîner tout de go avec John Salisbury.
Oh, yeah.
Tout de go.
I don't want to take that all the way away.
John, from a participatory research at McGill, travaille avec Anne McCullough. Et en attendant, je voudrais mentionner qu'on a également Alain Lesage qui assiste à notre journée de travail depuis Thanks. Barcelone à travers le lien Internet, ce qui est présenté ici non seulement en vidéoconférence, mais également en direct sur Internet. Ça va aussi donc devenir une espèce de DVD qu'on va pouvoir consulter par la suite. Et il y aura Jacques Enlisch, le DG du Douglas, ainsi que André Lemieux, son homologue Louis H. Lafontaine, qui vont aussi pouvoir visionner ces conférences-là et qui s'ajouteront à notre groupe lorsque nous nous reverrons à nouveau au mois de juin. John?
Merci, Jean-François. Hi, everyone. The topic that's very, very dear to us is participatory research and promoting participatory research in all areas of health research. First of all, within our mandate at McGill, and then more broadly everywhere, is what we do on a daily basis. But because it's been very well addressed, I think, up to this point, I'm not going to really be talking too much about the fundamentals of participatory research, except to talk about it in its relationship to knowledge translation, and as a starting point for what we would like to do, and what Jean-François would like to do, and what we are assisting in any way we can, in taking a look at what added value does participation add to this whole endeavor right now at this early stage with building this partnership towards this endeavor, and then later on if we do come together to put together a larger funded research project to look at the issues that are being discussed today. Specifically for the people in Connecticut, the terminology in Canada of knowledge translation, I think in the States, NIH talks about translational research 1, 2, and 3. It really is the issue of putting research into action, and I'll be talking about that in a little bit more detail in a minute. So there is a relationship between knowledge translation and participatory research, which we have come to realize in the last couple of years. What is knowledge translation or translational research? It's essentially moving knowledge into practice. It is getting things from the bench side to the bedside, is what is often said in health research, or in any way that how we can take knowledge and make it do something. The no-do gap is being bridged, is what people who are working in knowledge translation like to say. The Canadian Institutes of Health Research, which is Canada's primary health research funding agency, analogous to the NIH, says that knowledge translation is a dynamic and iterative process that includes synthesis, dissemination, and exchange, and the ethically sound application of knowledge to improve, in this case, in this context, the health of Canadians, and to improve health services and health systems. So that's very much a health definition, the second part of that statement, but it holds true for all of knowledge translation. And the reason I've highlighted in various colors here, dynamic and iterative process, synthesis, dissemination, exchange, these are the key things that that really make it relate to participatory research, as I'll be showing in a second. And it takes place within a complex set of interactions between all parties. Not only is it not unidirectional, it's not even bidirectional, it's very, very complex, where the roles of each particular player are interchanged and modified at various stages throughout the process. Therefore, all knowledge translation is interactive and iterative. Broadly speaking, there are two types of knowledge translation. There's the traditional end-of-grant knowledge translation. You do your research at the end. You try to reach people with it, if you try at all. In the most passive sense, it's diffusion. You publish, you present at conferences. If people want to know what you were doing, they go and find it. They go and find you. You hope that you're indexed. And then integrated knowledge translation, where you're trying to identify at the beginning of this process to whom will this knowledge be of the most value or have an impact negatively or positively. So who's going to use it and who will be affected by your process of conducting the research and also who will be impacted by your results. And try to get those people as stakeholders right from the beginning or as early as is feasible and possible and useful for all parties involved in the research. So that's integrated knowledge translation is the terminology that the Canadian Institutes of Health Research is using. So participatory research is a systematic inquiry. It is science with the collaboration of those affected by the issue being studied for the purposes of education and taking action. And again, the reason I've highlighted these is to relate it to the definition of integrated knowledge translation. A collaborative way of doing research, the action-oriented production of knowledge, engaging researchers and stakeholders of all sorts, knowledge users, in the research process, integrating the stakeholders throughout the entire process. So I sort of envision, I notice each presentation has a nice little graphic with some circles on it, and so I didn't want to be left out, although I notice it's compressed a little bit into an oval, which is okay. Knowledge users are essentially the world. Everybody is a knowledge user. And situated within this group of knowledge users are everyone involved in whatever academic pursuit you are talking about. It could be the academic partners are one particular group. And those knowledge users, which are going to be integrated into the process, in this particular context, we'd call the integrated knowledge users. But it's important to show that both the academic partners and every other group of partners are all knowledge users. And within the blue intersection in the middle of the circle is the study group, which in itself are knowledge, or is the knowledge production focus of any particular study or endeavor. And that particular group of knowledge producers is composed of the knowledge users, which are everybody, and they are interchanging their roles, and it is iterative and bidirectional. And this is sort of a two-dimensional map of what that might look at. And I asked the question at the bottom of the screen here, of where do you fit? Anyone who is going to be involved in this process, where do you fit into this in terms of the knowledge production and consumption and translation cycle? In participatory research, what should all partners negotiate? This is really the one thing that I'm going to particularly talk about from participatory research that very much overlaps with integrated knowledge translation. There are a multitude of stages that that all partners can be involved in participatory research, and not all of them take place. Not everyone has to participate to the same extent in every level, and participation should be equitable. In other words, it should be where needed, where is appropriate, and where is not going to be overly burdensome for any particular group, and where groups feel they can get the most value out of participating and also be as emancipated into the process as possible. And I think that's a key overlap between knowledge translation and participatory research in the action sense, is that goal of emancipation, but it has a different sort of view of the world, in that in participatory action research, you are really trying to take groups that may have been marginalized or left out of the political discourse socially, globally, and emancipate them into that system and using the research as a tool for that. In knowledge translation, structurally speaking, that's very much still the same thing, but you're talking more in terms of emancipating people into the research process for that particular study or for that process in terms of what kind of knowledge you're trying to produce. So it has a more humble goal in that it is really trying to bring all parties and give them power within the research process where they may not have had it before. But in terms of strictly knowledge translation, it may not be as interested in globally emancipating vulnerable groups. But it certainly can be, and that's where the overlap with participatory research is. So what should groups, what should all the partners in any particular endeavor negotiate? Research goals and objectives, and I'll I'll mention after this list why some of them are green. Methods and duration of project, terms of the partnership, terms and partnership agreement, degree and types of confidentiality, strategy and content of evaluation, data collection analysis, data, ownership, control, access, protection of data, interpretation of results, methods for resolving disagreements, incorporation, how do you incorporate new people into the team once something's ongoing, and joint dissemination of finding to all interested parties, groups, stakeholders, and areas. The reason that three of these in particular, negotiating the research goals and objectives, in other words, setting what the topic is, what are we looking at? What particularly are we looking at? What is our research question? What are we all interested in? Interpreting the results and joint dissemination. Those three in particular, we would say are the bare minimum for something to be really participatory. I think that all stakeholder groups really have to be involved in these things. And the first point right here of deciding what it is we're all talking about and are we going to move forward with the research question, I think is in large part why we're all here today. As representatives of various sectors and stakeholder groups or organizations or individuals that are interested in this topic. And to varying degrees, as is possible, feasible, and equitable, and not burdensome, and profitable for everybody, I think everyone should be involved in as many of these stages as possible, and written agreements at the end. This is also something that is important that everyone should be involved in if possible. So we would like, as I said, to talk about assessing this partnership. And this will be, there was a question about tools that came from Connecticut, or what were measures, outcome measures for empowerment and for that process involved in partnership research. So I'll talk about that a little bit by introducing one of the particular tools, which is, in some sense, an objective measure of participatory research. We'd like to assess the degree of participation that you feel you have enjoyed at key junctures during this project. So we're at an early juncture right now, and this will continue on through the three stages of this planning for the partnership application, and then later on throughout the process. And explore in depth how you've experienced this participation and what value it has for you. So you'll find in your package there was a double-sided sheet of a checklist, a survey, which came out of a Royal Society of Canada commissioned study in the 90s that Lawrence Green, who was at UBC at the time and since went to the CDC in Atlanta and is now at University of California, San Francisco, commissioned and he carried it out at his center at UBC. To find out, can we have any objective guidelines for assessing exactly if a project is participatory or not? And the goal for this was to be a tool for funding agencies who had to be able to evaluate proposals that came before them and be able to see through terminology and see through people just jumping through the hoops and using the proper words, and to be able to in some way really unpack the degree of participation that partners had in a particular endeavor. 25 questions in the survey are broken down into six categories: participants and the nature of their involvement, origins of the research question, purpose of the research, process and contexto-methodological implications, opportunities to address the issue of interest, and the nature of the research outcomes. And I'm just going to give a couple examples from to show you what kind of questions they are and that we're hoping to use. For instance, as an example from Section 1, participants in the nature of their involvement, are the communities of interest clearly described and defined? So is every stakeholder group clearly described within the context of the partnership? And are community participants enabled to contribute their physical and intellectual resources to the entire process and the endeavor? So this is a way to really qualify, I don't want to say quantify, but look at the quality of the participation. Another example from purpose of the research, can the research facilitate learning among community participants about individual and collective resources for self-determination? and from process and contextual methodological implications. Does the research process apply the knowledge of the community participants in the phases of planning, implementation, and evaluation? In other words, is it more than just researcher-driven at every stage? And does the process allow for flexibility or change in the research method or focus? Is there room for negotiation, or is everything set in stone and parties involved? Do parties involved have a chance to readdress what is being done in a meaningful way throughout the process? So that's one of the tools that we hope to be able to use to be able to look at various stages throughout this partnership, how everyone feels about what is going on. There are other tools also that try to get objective tools from a quantitative perspective that get to gauge people's sense of ownership over the process based on your stakeholder position and what particular voice you come to this process with. We're not actually going to apply it at this point. Maybe we will during the larger project if this gets funded, if the FISI grant gets funded as a multi-year project. And that would be very interesting also to compare how people's sense of empowerment within the process changes throughout the course of the study longitudinally across time. Does that affect how participatory the project is with through the measure of using this particular tool that I've just introduced? So besides that, we would also like to do interviews and focus groups at various times with you to really, in a very open and semi-directed way, gauge how you feel about the process and how you feel it helped things move and allowed you to express yourself and your concerns and your wishes for this project. In terms of focus groups are going to be by stakeholder group sector, not necessarily mixed in terms of everyone together. So service users will be a focus group, professionals might be a focus group, policymakers might be a focus group. So in your workshop package also, I'd like at this time to introduce you to the draft of the consent form, which you'll find. This has been submitted at this point to the Institutional Review Board at McGill. We are approaching, even though all of you are here as collaborators in this research, we are taking this participatory evaluation of the process as a piece of research, and we're doing it ethically with through the proper ethics channels at McGill. This is a draft. It is not finalized, so at some point we would like you to be able to look this over and decide how you feel about it, if it's addressing everything that you feel it needs to address. It does follow the basic framework through the which the McGill Institutional Review Board requires for consent forms, but there is wiggle room. It's not set in stone, and if particular stakeholder groups here present feel that something is not being addressed or is being harped on too much, we can negotiate that with the IRB. They do actually take a participatory approach to it themselves, and they do have a lot of capacity, which they've developed over the last 15 years or so, for understanding what collaborative and participatory research is about. So I'd like to also maybe introduce the idea that in terms of a decision-making process amongst this group, we would like to have a sort of passive decision-making regime, just so as not to overburden everyone who has the rest of their lives to get on with. So and I want to know if everyone's comfortable with this. And what I mean is that when there are decisions like this to be made about things like how do you feel about the consent form, all the information that you need to make any sort of decision will be presented to you. If you need more information, ask. It will be given to you in any way we can. And then we'll say, if you have anything to add, comment, change in any way, we would like you to communicate that to us within a given time frame, let's say by 2 weeks from now. And if we don't hear from you, We assume that you are okay with it as it stands. We will also forward on to all of you anyone else's comments so you can change your mind whether or not you have anything to say, because things may have changed over that 2 weeks. But that way, we will have the opportunity to garner all of your input without actually making you have to meet particular deadlines that might not work for you in the rest of your life right now. And we can try this out. If it's not working, if this is leaving anyone's voice out or feeling that people are not getting their say this way, we can change it. But does everyone feel comfortable with starting this as a process, a passive decision-making process? So, for instance, as an example for this, I'd say, can you get back to us within 2 weeks about how you feel? And you can do that by email, you can do it by telephone, you can do it in person with Jean-François, or with anyone else who is a collaborator on this. Does everyone feel comfortable with that? Does anyone not feel comfortable with that? Yes?
I'm just wondering why package didn't include any translation.
Oh. I think, oh, yes, it does. Oh, I'm terribly sorry about that. Yeah, it is in French and English. In Connecticut, is everyone comfortable with that? Yes, yes. Very good. Does anyone have any concerns about that particular decision-making model? Okay. Thanks. That's it for now. I just like to plug ourselves, because that's what we like to do. Any further information you would like on participatory research, we have lots of resources that you can find. Our website is pram.mcgill.ca. You will find previous presentations from local and international guests on various topics, project-specific and globally talking about issues. We do consultation workshops. We have monthly seminars for those who are in the area. And we also, for anyone, not just at McGill, but anyone partnering and wants to have a co-investigator at McGill, there is funding opportunities both for seed grants and for trainees. Thanks.
Merci, John. Thank you, John. Avant de prendre des questions pour John, j'ai une question d'Alain Lesage qui nous a écrit un courriel, soit pour Jeffrey, soit pour Louise. So we have a question from Alain Lesage, either for Jeff or Louise, and it reads like this. What has been the buy-in of institutions in your research studies based on the participatory action model with community and consumer organizations?
What institution? I'm not sure about the institutional part.
I think he was mentioning the institutions that Louisa mentioned in our talk previously.
Well, what are the buy-ins? What's in it for them? It's usually, I mean, the buy-ins, the hook for them is innovation. They all know that, and it's legitimacy. I mean, they mostly know that they have a legitimacy problem when addressing issues with vulnerable population. They cannot access them directly, be them drug users or, I mean, these people are away from the services, and there's a history for that. So what's in it for them is really being able to do their job to the extent that they have as in their job description to reduce inequalities, to the extent that they take that as priorities. So that's what's in it for them. I personally think that it's costly, that it's less cost effective, but it's the only thing that's effective.
Merci, thank you. Jeffrey, would you like to comment? Or?
Well, if we're talking about the institution like my university institution, I would say they don't care. They don't have a buy-in. If I get a grant, they're happy. If it's participatory or non-participatory, it's largely irrelevant to them. They do want a function in the university that does outreach. I think there is that. So the extent to which there are projects funded that have a community outreach or community connection part, that's good. But largely their concern is like what Louise said. It's do they get, can they brag about the grants that they've gotten? That's their buy-in.
I'd just like to comment on that because I think Louise's comment about innovation is extremely important, and I think we're extremely interested in developing innovation, in promoting it, and I think this is a good example today of what Jean-François is initiating. So the key word is innovation, daring to do what we've perhaps never dared to do before. And that's extremely important for me as a researcher. So I think the buy-in from the institution, if I work at the Douglas Mental Health University Institute, I think there's a very keen interest and buy-in in this type of initiative.
Yeah, I'd also just like to add that I think that this is a movement that is now gaining momentum in the States and in Canada. One of the reasons is that some of these big funding agencies have decided to fund participatory research, participatory action research. I don't want to define the differences. I just want to think about it all as partnerships and everybody coming together to work to the same goals. And it's clear that this top-down research from the past, researchers making all the decisions, there's some data to show that results coming out of that type of research take 14 years to actually trickle down to the community. Well, that's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And the other thing is that if you have top-down research with researchers making all the decisions, researchers are going to research what they think is important and what they have passion about. That's why they're going to stay up, you know, late and work weekends and things. But if you bring everybody to the table at the beginning, you know, like we're doing today, you get this wonderful difference of expertise at the table. Researchers have expertise in how to do a plan research and how to do the analysis. But health organizations and institutions and people with mental health illnesses have a level of expertise that no researcher has ever had. And it's all of this different, this tremendous breadth of expertise at the table, which is really going to develop a very rich, problem-based, on-the-ground project. And that's at the beginning of the project. And at the end of the project, because everybody's been involved all the way through, everybody understands the results. Everybody feels they own this project. And they all have their own networks. And they're going to be chatting away, you know, with their own networks throughout this process. They're not going to wait till the end of the research, you know, before the results start to go out in all these different directions. So, you know, one could argue that it needs to be have studies to be cost effective, and I think those will come, you know, down the road. I think we need to, you know, better understand what the real benefits are of everybody coming together like this, and we're trying to work on that. And then one of the reasons that, you know, we'd be very interested in everyone participating in the evaluation of the partnership that John's talked about is to, because there's been very little written about partnerships and what actually are the real ingredients of a partnership. There's some, but there's not a huge amount. And this would be a wonderful opportunity to provide new knowledge for other teams as to what everybody in this room and colleagues in the States as well. Sorry, I keep looking up at you up there. so that we can not only gain knowledge ourselves, it gives us another opportunity to talk more about what's working and what's not working, but also develop knowledge for other teams starting off on this kind of undertaking.
Thank you. André Delorme souhaiterait intervenir.
Obviously, I represent a different type of institution, which is government business. And so the question is not easily answered from my perspective. Mira was saying, well, we were a research facility, and so we want to buy into the innovative aspect of it. Government business is a difficult business because I was amazed when I first got there to see the amount of people that have a broad base of knowledge. They're academic level people that are trying to manage the government business, and you have to tie in that level of knowledge with the political decision makers, which have a whole different set of values, different set of perspectives, and that have to balance out equity not only between rich and poor areas of a socio-sanitary setup, but also between health education and health and transport and agriculture and environment and so on. And so from my perspective, which is not from the government perspective, but my personal perspective, is that the interest in this type of venture is that it is going to help people in the government business that are from the academic background to try and influence the political decision makers in making those decisions on not only on political value of what is their business, daily business, but also on a certain social or public, in the broad sense of the word, public policy. So I don't know if that's very clear because I'm translating. I'm into this translation business. So.
Merci. Thank you. Any comments from Middletown at this point?
No, not at this time, but we appreciate everything that we're hearing. I guess I do have one comment. In the States and in Connecticut in particular, there's been a movement for a long time called Nothing About Us Without Us. And for us, we sort of run everything through a recovery litmus. And it's just very encouraging to hear that the research component is now going to be infused with that vision. So it's been great to listen to the presenters this morning and to listen to the comments of our colleagues in the audience up in Montreal. We appreciate the opportunity to be involved in this project.
Merci. Question pour John, peut-être?
Okay. Well, this is half facetious. I just understand that we are part of a research project on the research project. Is that research project on the research projects participatory? Meaning, were those people involved in designing the questions, the instruments, will they be involved in the dissemination of the results on the research that they are doing? So that's just half facetious, you know. You know me, I would never question, you know, something like that. And and I would say that if, and that's what I just understood, I would have a concern for the consent form, because the consent form says that retiring from the project wouldn't affect the capacity of people to receive service, which I would say is totally irrelevant if the research project is about the research project. I would say, would withdrawing from the research that you are conducting on the research project would impede those people's capacity to participate in the research project. And you know, it's really this double thing, and this is something that we've been struggling with as well in my chair. But just, I mean, my question still remains. I mean, is your research project on this participatory research project participatory?
I'll answer it with the other half of the facetiousness is no, and I'm saying that half facetiously too. We do wish it to be participatory, and it hasn't been participatory up to now because this was something that was conceived of primarily by Jean-François as something that he would like to look at, and this is an opportunity for it to become participatory, of course, by everyone having a particular say in whether or not we want to participate in this aspect of looking at our process. So I think that's a very valid question. And do you want to put that to everybody? Do you think that this is something that we would benefit from, or that you, as a particular member from your seat where you sit, would benefit from as something that we take a look at, that is participation. Does this participatory approach add something to our process? Should we look further into that and sort of track it along the way? Do you want to talk more about that?
I would like to specify that the project that has been funded by CIHR was submitted by researchers. Among them is a policymaker, Dr. Delong, and one researcher is also a mental health service user. And it's the beginning of a new era, and you don't see this in Connecticut. Here we are in a museum of natural history with many big dinosaur skeleton. And I have the feeling that we somehow are making history here today. So it's a beginning of a new process. It's not perfect, far from it, but I think people will be able to add their own value, and we could build a really participatory partnership. That's what the intent is.
And to address the second part of your question, in the consent form saying this will not jeopardize your health care or your access to services is one of those things that the IRB requires you put in, and this is one of the things I was asking, is it relevant? This is for everyone to decide, and we can have a negotiation with the IRB. That's a clause that they require that you put in. Require is a strong word. Everything. And then the second part of that aspect of your question, I think I phrased it in there, that or jeopardize your ability to participate in this study or to contribute to the study. Is it in there?
No.
Yeah? Oh. Do we have two versions of this consent form?
Yeah, it's in there. The
okay. Okay, well, that's something that maybe everyone should highlight. Has it been translated appropriately and accurately? Is that aspect in the forefront, or is that a little more submersed under service access? This is exactly the sort of thing that really we could use your input on.
Yeah. Well, we have tailor-made packages, and some of them are in French for the French-speaking people, and some of them are in English. And so I think it would be useful if we had the translation of the consent form, because for that kind of document, sometimes it's lost in translation. Mm-hmm. So it would be important, I think, that we get both documents.
Very good. Okay, I'm not actually sure about were the packages sort of linguistically segregated?
They were.
Okay, I'm sure that was for printing costs. Okay, no, I agree. Everyone should have access to everyone as it is deposited among the National Assembly. Okay, thank you for the comment.
Je vais adresser en français. Je dois avouer que je suis un peu, comment je peux dire, inconfortable par rapport à le processus. parce que la question que Louise soulève est vraiment question fondamentale dans un processus participatif. C'est tout le processus et la participation des personnes. J'ai un inconfort que je dois m'exprimer parce que il y a une étude qui va porter sur une étude possible à l'avenir. Et je me sens un peu inconfortable avec quelque chose que peut-être c'est une très bonne idée. J'ai aucune idée, mais c'est la première fois que j'entends ça aujourd'hui. L'étude, oui. C'est-à-dire l'évaluation sur le processus.
En fait, ici, à ce moment-ci, ce n'est pas de la recherche comme telle. La subvention des IRSC, c'est pour des réunions de planification et de dissémination. Puis on est encouragé à mettre sur pied ces partenariats-là en vue de déposer des projets de recherche en bonne et due forme. On dit que c'est un processus de recherche en émergence, mais ce n'est pas strictement parlé de la recherche. C'est une réunion, c'est une rencontre.
Mais en fait, moi, on ne savait pas au départ, on s'en avait parlé un peu, mais je me dis en quelque part, peut-être qu'on peut se réajuster par rapport à cette dimension-là. Puis on peut voir qu'est-ce que vous voulez évaluer dans le processus qu'on va vivre ensemble, puis qu'on en discute. Je me dis peut-être qu'on peut se réajuster par rapport à ça. Puis tant mieux si on peut participer peut-être à ce volet-là, puis contribuer aussi. Je ne sais pas. En tout cas, moi, je suis bien à l'aise avec ça, là.
C'est un peu ça qui va être vraiment un défi, d'essayer d'avoir un recul par rapport à notre action, étudier, faire de la recherche sur la recherche. C'est comme une pièce de théâtre sur le théâtre. C'est plus complexe, mais l'important à cette étape-ci, c'est de sentir confortable et partie prenante un partenariat qui est en émergence. Puis nous, l'idée derrière tout ça, c'est une fois qu'on aura un partenariat, bien établi, bien là, on sera à l'aise de pouvoir dire aux organismes subventionnaires, nous allons fonctionner de manière participative et on a déjà 6 ou 9 mois derrière nous, puis on souhaite maintenant aller un petit peu plus loin. Là, ensuite, on va sortir de notre noyau centré sur nous-mêmes pour ensuite faire de la recherche comme telle avec des questions de recherche puis une méthodologie en bonne et due forme. André?
Moi, personnellement, là, pour répondre à ta question d'inconfort, moi, personnellement, j'ai pas tellement d'inconfort et je me dis que on fait en quelque part un tout petit peu de recherche participative, un petit peu comme la prose de M. Séguin. Jourdain, oui. La chef de M. Séguin, mais la prose de M. Jourdain. En ce sens qu'on fait régulièrement des réunions où on dit, bon, ben c'est quoi vos objectifs aujourd'hui? Qu'est-ce que c'est que vous attendez chacun d'entre vous? À la fin de la réunion, bon, est-ce qu'on a eu une réponse à cet objectif? Est-ce qu'on a senti qu'on était venu chercher quelque chose, qu'on a obtenu ce qu'on était venu chercher? Et en quelque part, c'est un petit peu c'est à tout le moins une approche participative, sans doute pas de la recherche. Et ce que je comprends dans le processus de recherche que tu es en train de mettre en place, qu'on va faire de la pratique de théâtre pour continuer dans ton... Alors, on va s'évaluer participativement, un peu de la même façon que quand on fait une réunion ou un séminaire, on dit, bon, ben t'es venu chercher quoi? Est-ce que tu l'as obtenu? Et est-ce que tout le monde est confortable avec le processus dans lequel on s'est inscrit? Alors, je le vois comme ça, mais en le formalisant un peu plus et en développant des aptitudes plus formelles dans le processus dans lequel on va s'engager si jamais on a un financement pour un projet multi-annuel. Alors, moi, je suis assez confortable avec ça.
Jean-François? Can I should... maybe I think what I would like to do is sort of wear my heart on my sleeve about why I'm interested in doing this and what Anne and I are interested in and what Jean-François is interested in is... figuring out, is this a good process? Does this participatory, we all feel that getting all people's voices to the table in creating knowledge and in creating something that will help everyone is something that makes the process better, that leads to better research, better outcomes, better service, better systems. And funding agencies are also taking that leap and deciding maybe we should try this, funders and policymakers, without all the evidence being there. And I applaud them, we all do, that taking that leap without all the evidence being in place. We'd like to create a little bit more evidence that we can say to policymakers and to funding agencies, federal and provincial state funding agencies, is this something that's good? Is this something that we should continue to mandate in the research process, that researchers should always be working with the people who are, one, going to use the knowledge, and two, are affected by the process or the outcomes? We think it's a great way to do it, and we'd like to sort of back that up with some sort of evidence that it's a good thing to do. And a way to do that is to piggyback sort of a making of documentary onto the special features of our DVD. So, you know, and I think that's a very, you know, appropriate way maybe to do it. So, but really, really everyone's input into shall this be done or should this be done is very important. And as it maybe is not clear enough in the consent form, not deciding not to participate in that, either as a group we all decide not to do it, or individually not participating in that, will in no way affect the overall process of creating this partnership for systems improvement. So that's my last comment on that, I guess.
D'autres commentaires? Questions? Diane?
Alors, M. John, merci beaucoup pour l'acétate que vous nommez là, les principes de la participation en indiquant clairement les dimensions que les usagers peuvent finalement s'attendre à pouvoir renégocier. Vous la replacez là. Dans la dernière, ici, vous parlez de la dissémination, donc le transfert des connaissances auprès des différentes communautés, cliniciens, politiciens, etc. Quand le, je suis pas sûre de mon anglais, là, fait que j'aime mieux vérifier. Quand vous parlez aux communautés, pour moi, ça sous-entend que vous parlez donc de la communauté vulnérable qui a participé au projet de recherche. OK, dans le sens que vous dites, bon, toute la diffusion des résultats auprès des cliniciens, des politiciens, des administrateurs, des scientifiques, des agences de recherche, mais vous débutez par les communautés. Alors, je prends pour acquis que dans votre notion de communauté, c'est aussi la population vulnérable concernée. Et si, est-ce que, comment vous faites quand vous, bon, parce que j'ai beaucoup aimé l'intervention quand on parle là, de communautés vulnérables, structurées ou désorganisées, comment vous faites, ou en tout cas, comment vous vous préoccupez de dépasser la communauté, du moins, qui a participé au projet de recherche, pour aller vraiment plus loin et rejoindre, donc, bon, éventuellement des utilisateurs qui ne sont pas dans des structures, qui ne sont pas représentés par des organismes communautaires, donc comment aller plus loin, sachant que, bon, si j'y vais avec la clientèle en itinérance, c'est comme pas évident, là. Mais comment quel regard vous avez là par rapport à ça? Et comment on pourrait mieux indiquer qu'il faut absolument que les usagers, que la transmission des connaissances se rende aux usagers impliqués et aux autres usagers, parce qu'il y a là aussi un levier pour leur donner du pouvoir. Fait que c'était ça que je voulais revoir un peu.
Merci beaucoup pour votre question. I hear in the background that being translated into English, and I'm finding it. it's a very good question, and I think really in that last step of dissemination that I was talking about, the important aspect was that it was joint dissemination, is that those of us in the part of the circle called academic researchers do not have the answers to how to reach everyone. But among all of us, maybe we are well situated to start to think about how to reach various stakeholder groups, and each of us comes to the table from a different group and a different perspective. maybe with some insights on how to reach other people who aren't at the table but might be closer to your end of the table than to my end of the table. And I think ends of the table is a lousy metaphor, and don't read too much into it. But I think that between all of us, that would be something that we could do together. And I think it's fundamental that all of us decide whose voice goes where, and who is the one, or who are the ones who create the message for particular groups, and who is the messenger. And the messenger is very, very important for legitimizing what the knowledge is. And it's not just a figurehead, because as messengers, or as people who we hope to be messengers, you are also, through this process, going to be intimately involved in creating the knowledge. So if you are a service user trying to reach other service users, it's not just that we are creating some knowledge and sending you out to talk to people you might know. You are creating the knowledge and then translating it in a way that you understand it, maybe in language that will be understandable. If you're a policymaker, you have been intimately involved in it, and you are the one who will primarily be speaking to policymakers. And not just at the end, but, you know, after this meeting, you'll talk to your colleagues, after the next meeting in 6 months, whatever. And you will be translating this as it goes along, and that is why it's integrated knowledge translation. You're reaching people who may need to act on it 5 years down the road as it's going along. And it's the same from the policy position, from the service user position, from the clinical position, from the academic position, whatever it is. And the important thing is that we try to imagine who those end users are and try to figure out how we can reach them in whatever way possible at all stages.
Oui, j'aurais un commentaire, mais je sais pas à qui je dois le faire, si c'est au groupe qu'on est en train de bâtir ou encore à ceux qui nous observent de façon participative. Mais en tout cas, je vais le passer pareil, mon commentaire. Pour pouvoir nous aider peut-être à être plus participatifs pour la prochaine rencontre, j'aimerais bien pouvoir recevoir les documents avant. Ce serait juste pour savoir si je sais encore lire en anglais, la première des choses. Puis la deuxième des choses, c'est que on a eu trois présentations très intéressantes, mais ça fait beaucoup de matériel à assimiler d'une shot. Puis, il me semble que si on avait pu se faire une tête avant, ça aurait pu aider pour pouvoir participer un peu mieux. Fait que c'est juste un commentaire, mais j'ai très apprécié ce qu'on a reçu aujourd'hui.
Merci pour le commentaire. Puis, tout comme on voyait tantôt la pertinence d'avoir les documents en français et en anglais côte à côte, les documents vont être disponibles sur un site Internet. Vous aurez tout le monde le lien pour y accéder. Même aux présentations qu'on vient de voir, si vous souhaitez les revoir, il y aura une transcription verbatim des présentations et le tout va même prendre forme d'un livre aux presses de l'Université du Québec avec Henri Dorville qui pilote ce projet-là. Puis on va essayer d'avoir aussi l'équivalent en anglais. On aurait aimé ça être mieux préparé, présenter des documents, mais en même temps, on se disait, on aime mieux commencer avec une page la plus vierge possible, mais je suis bien d'accord que vaut mieux avoir la documentation plus tôt que tard. Et si vous êtes d'accord, on va mettre sur pied une page web où on pourra réunir les documents, l'information, où les gens aussi pourront éventuellement interagir entre eux, pour faire en sorte que le débat se poursuive entre nos rencontres formelles quand on se voit comme ça. Mais on a bien l'intention de se servir des technologies modernes pour garder le lien, construire un lien le plus étroit possible sur une base régulière. Merci à vous. D'autres commentaires, questions? Michel?
Merci, je vais aller en français. Tantôt, quand Louise a présenté au tout début, elle parlait des institutions qui fonctionnent avec les règles et les processus, plutôt que directement dans les contingences reliées à l'action. Et quand je regarde notre processus ou notre façon, c'est qu'on est carrément là-dedans, on examine quelles règles on se donne, comment on fonctionne, c'est quoi la coquille dans laquelle on veut fonctionner. Et je suis très à l'aise avec ça. Moi, je suis venu ce matin pour apprendre plus sur l'évaluation participative. J'ai beaucoup apprécié, je suis très heureux de ça. En même temps, sur l'ensemble des démarches, ce que je me dis, c'est dépendant de ce qui va être choisi au niveau de questions de recherche ou d'implication sur un sujet. Je suis même pas sûr d'être le chercheur qui est la personne compétente pour pouvoir aider. Je suis pas sûr non plus, quand nous, on fait de l'évaluation participative, on s'assure que les gens qui participent sont les gens qui sont directement impliqués avec les questions qui les concernent. Alors nous, on a invité des gens ici puis qui connaissent plein de choses, mais pareil comme moi, je suis pas un chercheur qui peut faire qui est chercheur dans tout. Je pense que ça veut dire qu'il y a d'autres partenaires qui devraient joindre et peut-être qui seraient encore meilleurs, en tout cas je parle à mon nom personnel, que moi pour poursuivre. Je ne sais pas si on travaillait sur l'emploi, je pourrais tout de suite vous donner un chercheur qui serait beaucoup mieux que moi pour aider. Alors, je dirais personnellement, mes objectifs, je suis très heureux, mais dans le processus tout au long, j'ai l'impression que les choses vont évoluer puis que peut-être la composition va évoluer aussi du groupe qui est ici. Juste partager ça.
Exactement. Le but, c'est on convient d'abord d'un partenariat qui est le plus simple possible, en même temps qui couvre assez large. Puis dans ce partenariat-là, on prévoira des modalités pour élargir le partenariat selon les questions de recherche plus spécifiques. Puis c'est certain que il y a des personnes utilisatrices, des représentants de groupes d'entraide, de défense des droits, régional, provincial, au niveau national, qui pourrait dire, ben, on aurait aimé ça être invité dès le début. Pour des raisons pratiques, c'était pas possible de le faire. Fait qu'on a travaillé avec des gens qui étaient déjà associés à un stage de recherche que j'avais fait à la direction de la santé mentale, avec les chercheurs qui m'appuyaient dans mon cheminement postdoctoral. Puis, ce qu'on a, l'argument aux IRSC, c'est qu'on s'est dit, nous, on ne va pas de notre propre chef convier d'autres partenaires. On va d'abord, avec ceux qui sont déjà là, convenir d'un mode de fonctionnement pour justement ensuite pouvoir ouvrir ce partenariat-là selon des modalités qui auront été convenues et que tout le monde pourra se sentira à l'aise de véhiculer. Donc, dépendant des recherches, des questions de recherche plus spécifiques, on pourra identifier d'autres chercheurs, d'autres personnes qui pourront alimenter la réflexion. Catherine?
J'ai regardé brièvement l'outil que vous proposiez. Et je dois vous avouer que j'ai le bonheur de peut-être pas avoir à répondre en tant qu'observatrice, mais quand je regardais les questions sur « je trouve que ça a aidé la collectivité » ou que la collectivité... Je trouve ça difficile à répondre parce que je crois qu'il y a des collectivités. Et une question qui m'interpelle ici, c'est comment, comme groupe, vous allez définir ce que sont ces collectivités-là, parce que ça peut servir un groupe, mais moins ça peut desservir un autre. Puis là, à ce moment-là, on se place de quel bout? Et est-ce que je parle de ma collectivité ou d'une collectivité sur laquelle on statue? Alors, c'est la question que je me posais en regardant vos documents. Je voulais simplement vous transmettre mon feedback.
No, that's thank you. Merci encore pour votre question. C'est une bonne question. Je vais répondre en anglais, je m'excuse. I think the tool needs to be adapted. The tool, first of all, right off the bat, it was primarily devised for funding agencies to be able to, from the outside, look down upon a project and gauge whether or not something was participatory. It was also particularly devised in the first instance to look at community-based participatory research where you are talking primarily in a well-defined, encapsulated community, probably geographically or ethnically centered. So it does not have a universal feel to it from that sense. When I was highlighting in my presentation some things from it, I pluralized things like community to communities. I think what we are going to talk about in terms of, instead of community, we're going to talk about stakeholder communities. There are communities of practice, communities of interest, and it doesn't even mean that there is not one mental health service user community. There might be a plurality of those. And there is not one academic or one policy community. There might be a plurality. I think we need to decide on some way to, without overburdening the process, capture all of those nuances in a way that will allow us to have something meaningful. And I think a good way to do that, maybe, is that everyone really has an understanding that there are a plurality of communities, and you are answering it from your perspective on however you self-define your community. Where, when you are looking at that, that perhaps answer it from your own perspective and what you think, where you think you sit. Do you have, from whatever community, stakeholder community you feel you come from, do you feel that you can answer that question? Do you have that input? Do you have that impact on the process? That's a suggestion. I think that this will get negotiated as it goes along. Yes.
Might be tricky as there'll be people who have dual identities and things like that. So things to sort out as we go into. But just as you pointed out, and I'm sorry, I forgot your name. J'ai déjà oublié votre nom. Mais vous êtes à la fois gestionnaire et personne en rétablissement. Alors, quand je dis je le remplis selon mes perspectives, je le remplis comment? Je crois qu'il y a des dialogues à avoir dans le groupe là-dessus. Mm-hmm.
Tout à fait, je suis très d'accord. L'idée de base, par contre, je pense qu'on est réunis, tout le monde ici, avec un intérêt commun pour le rétablissement en santé mentale. Comment nous, on peut le mettre en pratique, soit en tant que chercheur, soit en tant que clinicien, que décideur politique. On est un petit peu une communauté des gens intéressés à voir le rétablissement s'implanter au Québec. C'est une suggestion, mais nous allons préciser avec le comité éthique, évidemment, le mode de recrutement, quel terme veut dire quoi. Et puis, j'espère que vous allez nous alimenter dans cette réflexion-là. C'est très pertinent. Merci, Catherine. Alors, nous approchons de la fin. S'il n'y a pas d'autres commentaires, questions que vous souhaitez aborder, ici ou à Middletown, a final word, maybe?
Yes, one final comment before we say goodbye. There's a person who's been with us all morning today who has made it possible for us to both see and hear you, our technical support person, Tom McClain, and I'd like to thank him, and I'd like to thank Anita Kotick, her technical support people, and the translators up there at McGill for making it possible for us to join you today. It's been a very interesting morning. I'm encouraged about what's going to happen going forward. Thank you very much.
Merci. Alors, il me reste à vous remercier tout le monde, puis merci d'avoir accepté notre invitation. Tout le monde est là, même Alain Lesage à travers le web. Je pense que c'est le début d'une aventure qui risque de porter fruit, de faire de nombreux petits. Merci beaucoup.